Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am here.
How's that phone problem? We all good?
Oh yeah. I just realized I had turned some food on when I got home. I sat down on the couch and almost fell asleep, and I started smelling something, and I was like, "Oh shit!" So. That's what took me so long to come back, because I was like running to the kitchen real fast because I just realized I am burning food.
Oh boy, oh man! But no, we're here with it's been one of those weeks for some reason. Going down like this whole retrograde shit, Mercury, and like once it goes down to the last week or last couple, when it's in this thing, it just goes fucking berserk. I mean, today I was at Taco Bell, and for some fucking reason, there was a mishap there with me and the people in the back. And they're like, I'm not normally like that. I'm like, hey, I asked for no cheese on my taco at Taco Bell, because I don't really care that much for cheese on my tacos. And I said, I ordered no cheese. I'm like, oh, yeah, they put cheese on the taco. I'm like, how is it not that hard to understand? It's like, no cheese. No shredded cheese on the taco. And like I ordered it and it says on the receipt, no cheese. But no, they still put it on there. And then my hands are like ripped open because I have, fucking calluses and everything like that. It's just like my hands are constantly dry and they're just ripping open. It's terrible. Let's just say it's not been fun. Yesterday was hell. Today's not been fun. Although I did go to Dollar Tree and I did find some dollar DVDs there, so that was good. I was happy there.
Sweet.
Yeah. I mean, go there, man, if you have a Dollar Tree near you. There's some good horror stuff there. I got Burying the X. Yeah. So there's some good ones. A lot of them have been after for a while, so I'm good to add those to my collection. Anyway, we're rambling on here, and there's a lot of stuff we got to talk about. Continue. We got news. We got trailers. We got a memoriam to start the show off with, and then we got to finish our Independence Horror Marathon with another title, another film to review. So let's start this off a little bit of a bad note, but like we always do, we always bring these up at the start of the show. The passing of Rutger Hauer. And this is one that, I was like, when it first showed up, I was like, you seriously, Rutger Hauer? And then I was like, yeah, Rutger Hauer. And it sucks. Again, he might not, well, can't really say that. He had a wide career. You know, he had a pretty, you know, sprawling career. But to us, you know, like maybe to some, he was, you know, Roy Batty in Blade Runner. I mean, that's his most, technically his most iconic role is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad film. You know, it's a fine film. You know, it's not one of my favorite films. But it was fine, you know, for a sci-fi film. But of course, me being me and, you know, the horror, you know, horror person, you got to go with The Hitcher. You got to go with John Ryder. And he also, you know, it's just, The Hitcher's a fun-ass movie. I mean, it's just so great. And, you know, again, the remake was terrible. Sequel wasn't too bad. But, again, I'm talking about the original here with Rutger Hauer. And just his performance in that is just phenomenal. And then, you know, he did some little offshoot horror films that I still think are pretty damn good, like Split Second is a good, you know, he's like a bounty hunter hunting after this creature in the sewer or into tunnels. And it's a fun-ass movie. I watched that on HBO years and years. And then when I got the VHS, I was watching it all the time. It's just a fun little movie. And, of course, another one, I don't think it's on DVD, but it should get a more recognition is Bleeders. That's, you know, technically the title of it because I know about the VHS because it had the blood pack on the cover. It had the creatures of it, and it's just like the blood pack on the front of the VHS. But it's also entitled Hemoglobin. But that's an odd little movie he was in. He's not in it for that long, but it's a fun movie. And there's just, again, he had a wide career. Of course, like Flesh and Blood is a great sword and, you know, swordplay movie. Like if you've never seen Flesh and Blood, that's such a fun movie. And he does a great job in it. Of course, Lady Hawk. There's so many good movies he's been in. Hobo with a Shotgun. I mean, that's like his most recognizable role as of lately. And it's just like, yeah, I hate to see him go. And you just to know that he's like 75. And like that's still, you know, that's still young, in you know, honestly, looking back, well, looking at it now, I mean, sometimes, you know, like we get some of these that's younger. I mean, I think Craven was around the same age. I think he was 76 when he passed, or I could be wrong. You know, all these people that passed, you know, the age kind of slips your mind sometimes. But and then just like a couple days later, it was like. Chris Sarandon's birthday, and he's 77. And you're like, you know, you would look at Chris Sarandon like, I don't even believe he's 77. He doesn't even look at the, you know, he doesn't even look it, you know. And it's weird that some of these people, you know, show their age. Some of them don't. Of course, I guess it depends on health and all that. But yeah, Rutger Hauer, he was still going strong, still making films. And again, he left some great performances out there. And, of course, you know, we're going to, you know, some classic films, and everyone's going to, you know, remember him. Ian, what's your thoughts on the passing of Rutger Hauer?
Well, literally a week before he passed away, like exactly 1 week, I had downloaded, just out of the blue, Lady Hawk, because I had never seen that movie, and I wanted to watch a fantasy movie, and I still haven't watched it yet, been able to get around to it, but I was just like, you know, blown away, because I was like, you know, just out of the blue, just like, I was like, you know, just looking up, just decided to go online and look up fantasy movies, and that was like the first option to pop up, and so I was like, yeah, but that's just, I don't know, I just feel like, you know, it's, you know, being in your 70s just kind of doesn't seem, you know, that old to me, but, you know, with all these people passing away in their 70s and their 60s and all that, just kind of sad, because you're just like, you feel, I just feel like, you know, I was like, that's just still too young. I feel like, you know, you just, they're still, you know, have a lot of spark left in them, and just sad to see them, you know, people go and, you know, and I'm glad that I can, you know, watch, you know, now that I know that, since I downloaded Lady Hawk, I can actually, you know, sit down and watch and, you know, as a memorial piece.
Yeah. No, I plan on doing that as well. Yeah, because there's a few of his that, well, mainly the one that I have yet to watch that I've just been putting off and putting off is Argento's Dracula. And he's, I think, Van Helsing in the movie. And I just put it off and put it off because, one, I've heard it's pretty bad. Not one of Argento's best. And it's like 2 hours long, and there's just a lot of stuff that's wrong with it. And it's just like, I'm like, it's just on the back burner. Like, I want to watch it. And just like, I haven't got to it. I've had it for like a couple years now, and it's like, I'll get around to it. And I might have to break it open, and because it's still sealed. I just have not opened that thing at all. I bought it new, and it's still new. And I'll get around to it, just because I want to see it. You know, it's Argento. I need to see it. But just sometimes you just like, you know, you got to just give things time, and I just, for some reason, I give that one too long of time to, you know, watch, you know, figuring out to watch. It's like the, you know, like the Paranormal Activity films, you know, we still have only seen the first one, and I don't have no desire to see the rest of them yet, but we will. I plan on it, because they're going to be doing that new one. Yeah, I know. There's just been so much other shit that we're doing for the show, and it's just like a lot of other things we'd rather, you know, watch than spend our time with, you know, six
exactly.
other paranormal films, Paranormal Activity films. You know, like one day we're going to do, that'll probably be like a marathon just for the fuck of it. Just like, we're going to do all the Paranormal Activity movies, get it out of the way. Even though it's like
very
old news. Yeah, very years later, 10 years after everything.
I guess a boneyard.
Yeah, it could be a boneyard, but that's I wouldn't. Boneyards are more specific than Paranormal Activity films. But nonetheless, I hate to see him. You know, I hate to see this guy, you know, Rucker go. I think he was, you know, from what I've heard, he was a great guy. If you ever met him.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah. And it's just it's, you know, you hate to see him go because, again, you know, it's a, you know, the legend, you know, he's iconic. Just a lot of great roles and good, you know, film moments, you know. Like the speech in Blade Runner is all him, basically.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, he'd done his, you know, everything he did great. You know, he was a fine actor, but again, he had, you know, not the greatest roles later on, but again, early days, you know, through the 90s and stuff like that, he had some pretty good roles. And of course, like, he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that was a fun-ass movie. And there's just, like, again, a lot of films that he was in that you have to go back and look for. You know, like, you might have forgotten, like, Mr. Stitch, you know, like, no one's going to fucking remember that one, but it's like, yeah, there he is, Mr. Stitch. Weird little horror movie. But yeah, I hate to see him, you know, I hate to see anybody go, honestly, but it's,
yeah.
And again, he's not like, you know, predominant in the horror genre. I mean, but he did provide us with some pretty solid, you know, films, you know, he starred in. So I kind of have to give him, you know, we have to talk about him because of his films,
exactly.
Even though they're not the best, you know, mainly just like The Hitcher is going to be like his main one, unless you're like really hardcore, and you know, like I said, Split Second and Bleeders and Mr. Stitch and of course Buffy. But again, he did a lot of, you know, Hobo with a Shotgun, you know, that weird, crazy, off the walls movie he was in. But yeah, I hate to see him going, but I feel like I'm just rambling on, so it's best to not to ramble. And get on with the rest of the show. So rest in peace, Rutger Hauer. And going on from that is we're going to do the – hopefully – let's see here, Ian. We got – yeah. We're going to do news. We can get through news real quick, and then we'll end the show with our indie film, close out the month. So let's – Jesus, there's a lot here. Let's get this one out of the way first, okay? Blade is going to be rebooted by Disney, Marvel. It's probably going to be PG-13 because it's Disney. I don't know how they're going to work that well, but again, I mean, it's I'm sure they could do well with it. I don't know. I don't even know who's in it. Like I can't even say his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Mahershala Ali, something like that.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of controversy with that too, because he did play a villain in a Marvel Netflix original, and they're trying to figure out, like, people are worried about, like, how the continuity is going to be with that. But I know Disney has said they are open to doing rated R films.
Yeah, because they have Deadpool.
Yeah. Well, Disney just, I mean, Fox was the one that did Deadpool and
but future films.
Now that Disney bought
Disney.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I hope they do keep it rated R, because Blade is just such a good movie. But
yeah, I mean, like I said, some PG-13, you know, works. I mean, with this, but Blade though is just, I don't know. I just don't really see it working out with the storytelling. And plus, you have to have vampire killing. And what are you gonna do? Are they gonna look like that? What was that one fucking movie that looked terrible? Oh man, the Mummy. You remember, like, they turned into dust and it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
Or Hellboy, the new Hellboy.
I haven't watched the new Hellboy yet.
Well, the CGI in that was terrible. But I don't know. They could do something. I mean, I think Buffy the Vampire Slayer was PG-13, but
yeah. Oh, I think they could make it work.
Yeah.
But
it just won't be super violent and gory. You know.
I don't know. I just watched Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Nickelodeon put their name on it, and it had people getting their heads cut off. So I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think it's getting weird. It's getting really weird. There's like blood and gore galore, and I'm just like, hell yeah. I mean, I'm all for it. But I just love how the actor got the role. He just called them and said, "I'm Blade," and they're like, "Oh, well." Okay.
Well, he was also he looked the part in Alita: Battle Angel. You know, I mean, because he was like one of the minor villains, like the head villain almost in that film.
Movie.
Yeah. But he was like, he looked the part in Alita: Battle Angel. But nonetheless, I don't really, there's nothing, it's not on the board yet. There's too many other films, but it's probably in the next phase. And I don't really want to keep bringing up, you know, it's a horror show and everything, so we have to kind of bring up horror's titles, and Blade's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, give it 2 years and we'll have Blade. You know, we'll talk more about it because it's just we got an actor and we got it. It's considered, you know, it's not in development. It's coming soon, in like 2 years, maybe three, whenever Marvel goes through this next phase and the phase after, they might do it in 2022. So we got a while. Okay, so the next one is the trailer for Zombieland 2 Double Tap. And we kind of talked about, you know, our ideas of what the sequel could be. And this trailer had a few parts in it that I kind of thought up, you know, like the female Tallahassee or Tennessee. I'm still fucking confused. I think it's Tennessee, or I don't know. But there's like a lot of, I don't know, it does not feel, honestly, this film didn't really need to be made, judging by the trailer.
No.
Because this trailer did not, and I love zombie films, don't get me wrong, I love the best and the worst, except for, you know, Dead Don't Die. But, like, this one, it felt like this is, like, they're, like, in on a joke or something, like how the Dead Don't Die was kind of, like, trying to tell you it's in on a joke. But, like, this one is, like, the actual joke. Because you have, like, towards the end, with, like, you have, like, the same characters, you know? And then, like, all the, like they're taking over the White House, they're doing all the normal stuff, and then Abigail Breslin's character is like going with a boy and smoking weed, and there's just like a lot of stuff there. And then like I think Rosario Dawson's in it, and she's like probably going to be the love interest for Woody Harrelson's character. And then you got like the ditzy girl that's like probably going to be into Jesse Eisenberg, even though he's into Emma Stone. I don't know. It felt like a weird movie. And
it really did. Like, I was watching the trailer, you know, like, because I saw it and I was like, ooh, because I absolutely loved Zombieland. And, like, I really loved that movie. And so I was just sitting there, I was, like, getting excited. And then I watched the trailer and I was just, I don't know. I felt kind of just meh about it. It felt like they were trying too hard with the comedy. Like, because I know the stupid comedy kind of worked in the first movie, and I think they're just trying too hard to recreate that.
Yeah, they're trying to capture lightning in a bottle again. It's like the new Critters movie. It just doesn't work.
God. I'm so curious about that. But
it's terrible. Don't even bother. Don't even bother.
I heard it's $20. And I'm like, I'm just going to download that if I...
Yeah. It's bad.
God,
I mean, you want to see it fucking... I know we're going off topic here and we got to get through this. But it's like honestly, if Nickelodeon... Like, yeah, you said with the Batman versus the Ninja Turtles. It's like if Nickelodeon took the Critters franchise, because it is a made-for-TV movie, I think Sci-Fi Channel, but it has all the markings of, like, Nickelodeon show, because, like, they cut out the cursing and they do all this, and, like, the jokes fall flat. But yet they have the Critters, and like the like some of the creature effects were good. I liked the creature effects, and like they had like gore and blood. But it's like just it's just weird. You know, it just had this weird aura to it. And like they had like it's like how like the original like the first Munchies, because it was a rip off of Critters and Gremlins. But like Munchies, and how that family friendly feeling to it with like the little critter Munchies going around. But it has like. In the Critters universe, and then they throw in a Gremlins-type gizmo character in the film for no fucking reason. And it's just, it's weird. It wasn't good. It's just, bleh, you know, it's just like, it doesn't really leave a bad taste in your mouth. It's just one of those, like,
but
it's just bad, you know?
Right.
Go on. Well, we have time. We need to get through this.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I just hope that they showed us all the worst parts. Like how movies usually show us all the best parts.
Yeah.
And we actually get a good movie. At least that's what I'm holding out hope for.
Yeah.
But moving on.
Yeah. It comes out in October, I think, so whatever. What else is coming out in October is Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. This is going to be back-to-back Halloween films. Halloween Kills is October 16th, 2020, and then Halloween Ends is October 15th, 2021. So we got ourselves a new trilogy, and from another interview, it's probably not going to be the end of the series or franchise because of Danny McBride saying something, so we're going to have more. But it's still cool. You know he's not going to die in Kills, and you know it's going to be interesting to see where they go, especially after Halloween 2018, so how they continue that on. You know, we'll see what, are they going to go any supernatural way, you know, like they did with like Halloween 6 or something, Halloween 5, one of those ways where it's fucking terrible. Yeah, but we have that to look forward to next year and the following year. So that's it for news. We rambled on a little bit, so we got to get our independence film in there. We kind of, a lot to talk about, honestly. There's a lot to talk about this week besides our indie film. But our independence horror marathon is going to come to an end with our review of The Fear Footage. Now, The Fear Footage wasn't my initial pick for this marathon. Got in contact with another director, but he didn't have an online screener. So we're going to work with what we got. And I just said, you know what? I wanted to see The Fear Footage. It is indie. It is low budget. We'll just toss it in there as a dead ringer, you know. It's there. And we'll review his on a future Indie Spotlight on an upcoming show. So The Fear Footage is a found footage movie about this officer. Well, the film opens up with this 911 call about this guy who's in, on the street, and there's a house that was demolished years or a year or so ago, but it was demolished, and it's just mysteriously there again. And so he calls the dispatch, and the officer arrives at the scene, and he goes inside the house. And inside the house, there's no one there, and there's a TV on with a VCR player and a VHS in the player, and it's very similar to the setup of VHS, the anthology film, you know, all that series where they go inside and you mysteriously play tapes, and it gets more sort of weird in the wraparound story than the films. But the films, the shorts, we have Birthday Party, Storm Stalkers, and Speak No Evil, and of course the wraparound story with the officer. Birthday Party is about like the clown epidemic that was going around a few years ago, where it's just clown sightings, and it's this little kid's birthday party, and he starts to see clowns coming towards the house. Storm Stalkers is in a very similar sense, the same film in the short in VHS 2 about the cult, but there's these storm stalkers, and they go out there to chase a tornado and storm, and they hit someone and they get chased down. And then Speak No Evil is about a guy who used to be a drug addict, and he's married and he has a child, and he starts hearing this sounds coming out from his the woods behind where he lives in this complex, and he does a little digging to find out a little bit more about it. Okay, now overall, this film has a lot of problems. And one thing, I know what they're trying to do, because, again, as like the original, the first VHS, there's a segment on there where it takes place on webcams, right? And it's like, how do they get the webcam on the VHS? So you got to put that aside. This one has the thing where it glitches out too much, and it has like the fuzzy glitch, and it got to a point where it was just annoying, because you're getting invested, semi-invested, you're interested in seeing where the story leads and where it eventually goes to, and like you're wanting to do this, and then all of a sudden it just cuts out and goes, or just like spazzes out, and it just gets to the point.
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible. And even with the police body cam, like when he's going through the house, it just cuts out. And I think they just did that as an added jump scare advantage, because that's all, the film has a bunch of jump scares. And it just got to the point where it's just like, enough with that. Because it just, because I was interested in the cop segment, the wraparound, and I was interested to see where that goes. And just like every time, because he's looking around the house, and again, body cam footage is always interesting to watch, even in real life, how things pan out that way. And just to see like because I don't think it ever really does happen, but they just did it for the effect. And it just didn't work out. And then there's the dialogue is not the greatest. There's the birthday party scene, and, there's the mother in that segment is a total bitch. And like your kid is telling you there's something going on, and like, oh, it's just a bad dream. Go back to sleep. I'm tired. Like, I'm sick of your shit, kid. Then, you got to get up for your birthday party tomorrow. And then they're just like, I'm glad something did, that's happened, because she deserves it, in a sense, without giving too much away. Like, Jesus, be a better mother, it's like if the house is on fire, like, oh, yeah, just fucking go to sleep, kid, I'm not going to deal with it, and then your house is on fire.
I was like, good Lord, like, honestly, I was, like, I was kind of getting pissed, I was like, shit, I was like, listen to you, I mean, if my child came to me several times, and was like, hey, yo, shit's fucked up, I'd be like, okay, let me check this shit out. All right. But no, that's that was just terrible.
Yeah, and then there's like segments, of course, you know, because he's like filming. I don't know why he's filming, but like he's like
calling,
I guess, for his birthday party or something beforehand that he's getting ready. I guess it's the whole reason that he's filming. But like he's like filming himself like playing Nintendo because he actually had an NES controller. And there's like segment there where like it shows on the news of clowns. I'm assuming that's the TV in the living room that he's recording. You know, it's showing this on. So the mother's right there probably, and she would like know. Like, okay, there's possible clown sightings and everything. And so when the kid says something, you know, of course it's a kid, and you're like, oh, there's a clown. You know, it's like, oh, boy cried wolf. But it's just like, yeah, make the something's going – there's someone outside the house. You would want to fucking look anyway, you know. Like, I'm not – you know, like, there's someone outside, like, right at the door. And, like, did you order a clown? You know, it makes sense. You know, like, no, I didn't order a fucking clown. It was a fucking clown.
The storm chaser one, I liked where it, how it ended, but that one felt like it dragged on too long.
Yeah.
And I was kind of getting bored with it. I mean, at least the clown story was kind of like,
it had a decent atmosphere, and it had a little bit of a creep factor because of like how the clowns were like coming in, like the one with the bathroom with the hands just coming out from behind the door. And then you know, like that one had a decent bit of atmosphere and kept a little bit of intrigue. But yeah, as you said, the cult one, it just, you know, of course I've seen it done better when the segment VHS 2. But it's like, it just didn't really, you know, like, okay, they hit a dude and then they get chased and then that's it. You know, and then you're just running through there. And, like it could have been done way better, honestly, the way they were doing it. But you go on, Ian. I'm talking. I'm taking over your moments. So I don't
right.
mean
no,
to.
No, you're fine. No,
dude, you're all right. No, just – I mean, I liked how it ended. I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, the it just felt like it – kind of just was there. Like, it could have just been a lot quicker, and they probably could have added a whole nother segment into it, and like next. But and the third one was kind of, I mean, I was kind of intrigued, but at the same time I was just, I also felt like it drug on a little too long, but I really liked the ending and the wraparound story. Honestly, I was more interested in that.
Yeah, that wraparound was great.
Oh, and I love the special effects they did. I was like, ooh, whoa. I was not expecting that. Like, I was not expecting the special effects to be not bad at all. And I was kind of, you know, with all the little shorts were, I think if... I would have just loved to see, like, a whole film of just that cop, honestly, that just randomly plays VHS movies.
No, it's just the idea of that is, I mean, it does work on its own, you know, as a short. I mean, it for what it is. But, like, the whole general idea of, like, what the film's supposed to be, it's just, like, mysterious things happen and there's tapes of it. And, I mean, it's a little bit like the VHS effect where it's just, like, why are these here for this reason? But like this one, like again, the house mysteriously, it was demolished and then it comes back and then like he goes there and then he plays the tapes and, you know, again, the tape has the fear footage on there. And then he plays the tape and like there's the wraparound story of like the family who owned the house and the little girl, she found the tape and things started to go bad after she watched the tape. And like, I was like so interested in, you know, that of course where that eventually leads. It continues on in the wraparound. But the third story, not to toot my own horn, but there's a similar idea that I wrote almost to a T, but it had some, you know, some slight
elements,
similarities and elements to it that I wrote in high school back in like 2004 about a kid, but he heard this sound out in the middle of the woods. And, like, he didn't know what to do, and he went out and, you know, tried to find the sound. And of course, they did a little bit more than I could because it was just a paragraph story, but it was very similar. And I'm, you know, I have to find that story and, like, you know, pass it on to Ian so he can see the similarities to it. But I did like it where it was going. It was just like it's just like the same idea with, like, the mom. It was like the wife in this one where, like, the character was, like, dumb. Like, because at the end he's hearing these voices and he hears his daughter. All he had to do was fucking call his wife and, like, hey, is Sarah there? And then boom, you wouldn't have to go out into the woods, you know. But again, we're watching a movie and it's just like common sense, you know, is out the window. And I always gotta keep you know, reminding, like, common sense is fucking out the window for horror films. But it's just like a lot of things could have been, you know, like, not prolonged, but like, no reason. And, like, again, it kind of makes sense, the things that were going down at the, you know, like, everyone else couldn't hear the sounds but him. So it does make sense at the end of things. But it's still, it's a fine, you know, it's probably, I don't even know, I guess the first one, besides the wraparound being the best, I guess the first one was better. And then probably the third one, Speak No Evil.
Yeah.
And then probably the Storm Chasers. I mean, I did like part of the Storm Chasers, you know, once he got into the broken down place or the empty building.
Yeah.
But they're just going around in circles and, like, why are you going into a fucking tunnel place, you know, into a building? You're in the woods. Just go back to the fucking car, you know. So that's another thing. Which
oh,
is like,
yeah.
Just like, go back to the car. They're not gonna. You can get in there and get out. Even though he did that later on, but you know, some of it was all right. But again, it's like it put a little bit more care into it. You know, of course, I'm sure they did. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of problems with it, especially, you know, the glitches and the edits and everything like that, that got to be a little bit annoying and a really major problem for the film. But overall, you know, again,
yeah,
it's not the best found footage film. It had ideas, and the you know, again, like we said, the first one with the cop, the wraparound, would so much fun with that. Could have been, like, as Ian said, there could be a feature. You know, it's like how they did the first segment in VHS Siren, how they made that into a feature. So I could see, you know, if they wanted to, but again, don't really need to, because then you never watch the film itself. You know, if they did that, you know, sort of like how Terrifier just became a film of itself, of a wraparound story about a clown, you know, making people watch tapes, you know. So it's interesting how some films turn out. But Ian, your final thoughts on Fear Footage?
Well,
or just anything,
yeah,
else,
like
you
I
want
said,
to talk about the film?
Well, you know, I did in the third one. I really liked how it ended. I kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
But I still liked it. You know, and I like how they did the parallel with the church and the house.
Mhm.
And I was like, "Ooh, that's probably why this did what it did." And I mean, overall, it wasn't bad. Yeah, there's some parts that really needed to be tweaked, but I feel like if they made a sequel to this and just took what they, you know, they did and kind of tweaked on it a little bit, I think it would have been perfect. Like, and just, and no, please, if you guys make a sequel, no more glitching, because that really, it started giving me a headache, because I kept hearing every 5 seconds, and I was kind of like, okay, this ran its course. But yeah, that was my, really not much else I can really say about it. I mean, other than, you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, like, great.
Yeah. Yeah, just, there's some problems there, and probably, of course, you know, it's not, you know, it's what the the finished product, you know, initially turned out. And, of course, you have to deal with it sometimes. Of course, budget limitations and all that stuff. You didn't do everything you initially wanted. So they had to work around what they had. And, again, it is you know, low budget. I mean, you can tell. But, again, that's a lot of found footage movies nowadays because it's just the easiest thing to make. And you know what? Kind of like, remember Monkey Farm? It's sort of something like that. That the like the not the what the because they go in there and he breaks into the facility and the monkey man going around terrorizing people. So it's you know you can do that. But yeah, it's not too bad. It just again that the glitch is really the main thing, and then like some of the common sense things. Again, it's you gotta put that on the shelf, but it's very problematic in this one because it was just you had common sense. I mean, just like better characters in general, because like again, the wife in the third segment, the mother in the first segment, again, the characters were just, and the second segment is just because it was just like a, really a lot of nothing, and then you just see cultists chase you on both sides like five times in that one segment. It just got, as Ian said, a little dull. And then the ending happens. It was like this really long, dull scene, and then you get the ending, which is cool. And then, you know, when I first, you know, I was like, he was watching the tapes. You know, I was thinking maybe, like, all the stuff that was happening in the tapes was going to happen in the house. But that's my first, you know, thought when, like, the clowns come and then the cultists. Yeah. Like, he was going to be, like, chased or, like, they were going to come and attack him. Technically, something like that does happen, but it does revolve around his story, the cop story in the house. But, yeah. I mean, so you kind of still get it, but I was expecting, you know, everything from the, you know, initial segments to attack the house after the tape was played instead of what initially happens. But yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's not something I'll probably be, you know, I'll be in the mood except for probably the cop segment. I mean, if I could find that cop segment by itself, I'd be down, you know. But
oh, no doubt.
But yeah, I can't really say too much more because I really don't have anything else to say about the fear footage. So I guess that's just going to do it. And unless, Ian, you got anything final?
We don't really have much time. I don't want to ramble on too much. But
yeah.
Other than, you know, just, you know, there's not really, like, you know, like you said, there's nothing really, it didn't really feel like it was kind of a payoff of what the movies that he had to watch and, you know, about what they were and, you know, how it ended and all that. The wraparound story, I kind of was expecting that too. And I was kind of disappointed. The only thing that actually, like, took place, you know, I don't really want to, you know, say cause
yeah, don't.
Spoiler, but, you know, there's only one little similarity that I noticed, and that was it.
Yeah,
but it's not bad. So if you want to watch it, watch it. If you like found footage movies, check it out. Give it a shout out.
All right. Well, with that, I'm gonna say that is it for this show. I believe it has been a pretty solid Independence Horror Marathon this year. I think we had some interesting titles to discuss, and I hate that the other ones kind of fell through, but we'll talk about that on an upcoming show. Hopefully we can get that film back in our grasp. And, yeah, so next week starts a whole new month of stuff. I don't know what we're going to do. But nonetheless, it's always be interesting. Always new stories will come out, new films. I don't think we have a feature film for a while until 47 Meters Down 2, and then like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark a little bit later on in the month. But we got a little handful, and we'll be figuring other things out. So thanks, everyone, for joining us for our Independence Marathon, second annual Independence Marathon. And just if you haven't heard last year's, go back and check it out and listen to all the films we reviewed there. We reviewed Fisted. Go if you have never heard of Fisted, go back and listen to that. And so that's going to do it. Thanks.